You're uncomfortable in that chair, Lorenzo. Do you want another chair?
No, no, I'm all right.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, yeah. I've put one on.
We got that one from Graham Norton.
Yeah. We didn't
Please like, subscribe, comment, and hit the notification bell for any future videos.
And if I say one thing at all about the electric cab, the new LEVC cab.
Not so new anymore, is it?
Not so new, but I mean, I remember the first time I saw it, and then getting in yours yesterday as well was the same thing. It is lovely.
How old is it now? What's it? When did the first
one? It'd be 6 years. So January 2018, the first ones came out on the roads, yeah.
And what's the highest mileage you've seen on one so far?
Oh, interesting, David.
Do you know what? Someone asked me that a couple of days ago. I think I've heard of, not seen, probably about 270-odd.
Really?
That's not bad. Anything with it?
Yeah.
Really, though? No. That's not bad. That's excellent.
Well, she had four chassis and 15 inches.
Trickers, broom.
Are they going to say that's propaganda? That is true. Oh, really? I mean, really, that's...
Yeah, so that's quite big miles. And that's a guy up in Scotland, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, he's not had, from what I understand, he's not had many problems whatsoever. You know, and his thing was driving it right, driving it carefully.
You think there's some truth in that? I would have thought there was, but I've been shot down by a few people.
I think there's some truth in it.
Yeah, I think whatever you buy, whatever vehicle it is, you know, you drive it carefully, you look after it, you service it, you know, any little bits and pieces that come up, you sort out. And that cab will last. Cab, car, whatever it is.
Well, I understand that part, obviously, with any car, that if you drive it better and you look after it, it will maintain. But then if you're driving something within what would be considered to be normal usage and it's breaking, so it's kind of, that's what's the quirk, isn't it? People feel that it shouldn't break within normal usage. They're not really driving it hard. Although me and Dave don't quite think that they aren't driving it hard.
I don't know. Some people must be driving it hard. But that's not always it. I mean, I could go out tomorrow and be driving it in my slippers and something and go, but that's the same with any vehicle, though. You could buy a 150 grand Merc or something, couldn't you? Top of the range, and something could go on it.
Yeah.
You see Rolls Royces on the back of trucks.
Yeah, it's just looking after that vehicle. If you've done the moles and the work that you guys do in a normal car, I think you would get a lot more.
Can we talk about warranty?
Yeah, what's happening with the warranty?
Is it
going up in price?
The warranty has gone up in price. Cost of parts and things like that, obviously influence. But look, it's an outside company. You know, we already know everything about the warranty. I think you've already done a kind of
thing. Yeah, it's popular as well. We've got loads of people talking about it, didn't we? I mean,
what was the conclusion? Don't get one, wasn't it?
Think if it gets so expensive, then in the end, you might just put the money aside yourself anyway.
What I didn't say on that podcast is I think that LEVC actually spoiled us a little bit with that warranty. It's very comprehensive. It covered so much, and it was a long warranty we'd never had before. So we got used to 5 years is a long time. Any business, and if you're covered for everything over 5 years, you get addicted to being covered, don't you? And then all of a sudden, you're outside warranty, you're coming up to renewing, and things have gone up, everything's changed in 5 years, and all of a sudden, you've got to pay for it yourself, and it's like, it's so expensive. Then you realise what they covered, which was huge.
I think even, like, gallon of oil has gone up, like, 3 times, hasn't
it? Yeah.
So much has gone up in price. Like you say, the oils, antifreeze, you know, it's not cheap stuff. You can't just go and buy a gallon for, like, a fiver. It's all gone up. Everything's quite expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
So... look, again, the warranty's there. If anything goes wrong, we'll you know, bring it in. We'll sort it out. That's what we're there for.
What about salaries?
Salaries.
Have they gone up?
not for me. No.
Cut.
No comment to that one.
Still got to get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I have to say, though, overall, and I've had mine 2.5 years, and I rented it from Paul, didn't I, first of all, a few years ago, and... Yeah. I do like them.
Yeah.
I have to say it overall. And I've got to find some wood now.
I've had
very little.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I would moan about, if I was moaning, I had that, we know it rebooted the screen. It kept going on and off. And I'm not moaning about that because it couldn't go. But I was told, you'll have to take a picture of it when it's doing it.
Oh, yeah, you said.
Now, that means ignition on, usually driving. You got to take a photo.
Yeah.
And I found that odd. Yeah, that was an odd. That was an odd statement. I did get it. Do you know how I got it? I actually had my nephew in, sitting behind me when he was messing around with the camera, and I managed to get a video of it happening.
Yeah.
But that's an odd thing to say to a driver.
They should have said, "Get your nephew in the back of the cab to take a picture."
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, well, it's what difficult. Was that? How can they find out otherwise? They can't.
Yeah,
can't
it's difficult problem. Because you do get these little glitches. Look, there's a lot of software in this vehicle. There's a lot of computers on this in the cab. You know, I always kind of liken it to an iPhone. Every now and then it needs an update.
That's what I do.
Every now and then it needs turning off and switching back on. Every now and then it freezes. You know, I've got a car with a computer screen and everything, and that freezes. That starts searching. That starts loading. Sometimes
is that someone taking the lead off the battery? Is that like giving it a reboot? Because I don't think you particularly like people doing that, do you?
Well, no. The only reason not to take the battery lead off the battery is that you're wiping the memory, so you're just clearing everything. So when you do bring it in,
you can't.
We plug the computer in and we can't see. But what's if you're wrong
stuck.
With it.
If you're stuck somewhere and it's stuck in,
yeah,
and that happened to me in Sloane Square a few years ago.
Yeah. So the early ones, did have a kind of software glitch in it. They've rectified that. I don't hear that going on anymore.
The 10
hardly ever. Yeah. Hardly ever use a 10 mil.
Yeah.
Once in the last 3 or 4 months, I've
used a what?
Driver.
10 mil.
10 mil spanner. Yeah. Everyone knows this.
For the batteries.
Yeah, this is a thing that you used to do to reset the vehicle. It was a bit of a cheat.
Mm.
So I used to quite like it because drivers used to ring me up broken down and I'd tell them what to do. And it'd be like heaven for me because normally with the old diesels, there'd be recovery. It'd be recovery, recovery, recovery. A couple of night you'd get, you know, on a big fleet. But with the LEVC, it was like, I'll just do this, this and this, leave the boot open, boom, and you'd be, and there'd be away and I would have no breakdown bills.
Yep.
Now it's different reset. It's just turn it off, turn it on again. And off you go. Just leave it 5 minutes and off you go. But it's not as bad as it was. Software updates get better and better and better. That I will say.
Do they still have London Cab Recovery?
There is a London Cab, couple of different recovery firms. Yeah. That specialise in taxi, which are much better than the national stuff.
Yeah, come and get you.
Yeah, I think.
So the 10 minutes. So the funny thing about the battery, though, isn't it? When usually electronics, when you disconnect what would be considered the main battery. There's usually a little single cell battery that would keep like your clock running and things like that.
So that's your 12 volt battery is what Paul's talking about.
Yeah.
Is that
it's only a little battery.
It's a 12 volt battery.
It's a car battery.
Car battery.
Yep.
That's it. Not it's the main big battery.
It's in the boot.
Yeah.
And
without that, there's no other battery. There's no.
You've got your main HV battery.
HV battery.
Which runs the vehicle.
High voltage.
High voltage battery.
Oh, okay. Of course. So.
Yeah.
The whole thing's electric, isn't it? I understand. So that doesn't maintain some sort of power to the electronics to keep sort of memory cells going?
So they both kind of do different jobs. So that 12 volt is going to keep certain bits going.
Right.
And the HV battery does some other bits. I'm not that completely up on exactly what it's keeping it alive or not.
I think the HV battery runs the vehicle. The small battery runs all the ancillaries.
Time goes on and the battery gets old. Obviously, it's getting old. The main big battery, if that's no longer it's barely any good, can you just keep going with it? Or you ain't got to go and spend this fortunes to replace it, have you?
What I've kind of seen, and vehicles of the first ones, the 18 plates, there's a handful of 67 plates. And where I've had them in part exchange, when we resell them, you know, actually the batteries are standing up pretty well.
They are.
You know, you've got a few 18 plates, haven't you?
More than a few.
So, you know, so they seem to be standing up well.
Yeah.
So as long as you're going through the cycles of charging, depleting, you know, charging again, slow charge, fast charge, all of that sort of thing, it's just maintaining that battery, using it. You could carry on without the battery, but to be honest, that just defeats the object. You're not going to make the savings.
Well, the way I'm asking is because as they get older, you're only allowed at the moment to keep it 15 years. You've got 1 year left, say that in the future, you've got 1 year left, and the battery's defunct. You're not going to go and spend 10, 15, 20 grand on a battery for 1 year, are you?
Yeah, it's a write-off.
So basically, it's gone. But could you basically drive it if the battery was no good?
On the petrol engine?
Yeah, just keep driving. You know, the engine.
You need a level of charge in the battery.
But it could be greatly depleted from when it was new. You know, a bit like your iPhone. You know, it goes down, doesn't it? As soon as you get it, you're watching the percentage go down.
You've just got it plugged in all the time. But you do need a level of charging there.
And I noticed you said there about rapid charge, because I mean, I'm mainly charge at home. Should I charge rapid every so often?
So, again, I think, don't take this as gospel, but yeah, it's, you know, just kind of charging it in different ways. So fast charging, slow charging, it all kind of, you know.
It's good for the battery life, you think,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, yeah.
Degradation is the word.
If you left the vehicle sort of sitting for 6 months, that wouldn't be good for it.
My neighbour's got a hybrid car and she's never charged it since she's had it. She's a 17 plate. She never charged it. She's not got a charger at home. She never charged it.
But she's never been anywhere then, obviously.
No, she uses petrol.
Yeah, just drive it.
Oh, I get you.
It's a hybrid. But there's all different types of hybrid cars. Yeah.
So the hybrids will then charge the battery. Yeah.
There's some of them, yeah. That's self-charging, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's not one of the, it's not one of them ones.
It's a plug-in hybrid, isn't it?
But I remember when it first came out and everyone was like, oh, the charging, the range is rubbish and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself, but it's a hybrid. What are we worried about the range for?
Mm.
Yeah, no, we haven't got it's
how does it compare to other hybrid sort of like
similar
models? So like hybrid is a different this is a long range extender, so the engine charges the battery.
You're not driving on
sorry the engine keep
tops up
the battery, yeah, yeah. And that's how the vehicle is being driven by the electric motors.
So it's always being driven by electric, but the engine is actually not driving the car, it's actually powering the battery.
It's maintaining the battery at a certain level so that you can keep moving and keep driving. So as long as you've got fuel in the car, you can just keep going in there. So hybrid is basically you go over 30 miles an hour, for example, then your engine kicks in and is driving the vehicle, yeah? That's kind of
a different form of hybrid, isn't it? Called a mild hybrid or something.
That's a hybrid. You've got mild hybrids that kind of do a different job again.
Right.
Keep the emissions down.
Right.
Then you've got plug-in hybrid.
Right. Ours is a plug-in hybrid.
No, it's not hybrid whatsoever. It's a long-range extender. So it's a different concept.
But on the V5 concept. It says hybrid.
Yeah, it does. I think that's more about the DVLA categorising.
Is it?
Right, how they can categorise it.
Yeah, it's always this strange discussion about what kind of vehicle it is. It's like, do you remember the first BMW
i5 or something?
i3,
yeah.
The first one's exactly the same.
Yeah, it was the same setup.
And most people that review them cars want the original ones because they ain't worried about the battery expiring because they know they've always got a backup. The infrastructure, it's not there. It's still not there in London. Still really not here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what would you drive then? You still drive a cab?
If I drive a cab, I drive one of Paul's.
Right, okay.
So I would drive the electric one. The last cab I drove was your electric one.
Right.
So, and I thought it was wonderful. This is a brand new job. In that cab, in an electric cab, it's a new job to what would have been.
Yeah.
It would be like being a coal miner and then being an office worker.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been down the mines and this is lovely. I don't want to go back.
No, and this is it. I've been selling cabs for 25 years and selling fairways, TX1s, 2s and 4s, and this is obviously, as you know, by far the best we've ever had.
But Dave, you haven't done a proper shift in a TX at all, have you?
No. Well, last time I drove a TX4, Johnny O said I looked like a circus bear. Cause so big it. He couldn't stop laughing.
Okay.
So you've driven
back,
one?
I haven't got back in it since.
I didn't like them.
No, they're lovely and they're great. But once you compare it, so what would happen is you'd do a day's shift and I used to go home and stand on my balcony and have a gin and tonic and you'd be vibrating.
Still.
Yeah, you would be vibrating and you can feel your body just rattling. You've just done your job and it's in you. And then you go out in an electric cab.
Was the cab?
Well, it was the,
It's just warm air wafting around you, isn't it?
Yeah. It is a real different state to be in. And you don't realise when you've been driving in a vehicle that's rattling all the time that you're kind of, I imagine it ain't that great for your bones. And then, and the same as a passenger, which I've been a passenger in the LEVC one quite a lot, and I remember thinking, wow, this is a completely different experience. You get out unshaken. There's an unseen stress and uncomfortableness that you didn't realise was there until you take it away and then you're in something that's not doing it and you suddenly realise, wow, that was really pleasant. Mm. You get out now and you're fine.
It's more like a car. It's more like a little SUV. Like we, I did a when, a few years ago when it first came out, I did a review with a car guy that was quite famous on YouTube, and he was saying it feels like a little I-Pace. That's what he felt like, he was driving an I-Pace Jag. Mm. And he really liked it. Mm. I don't know whether he was saying that for the camera or
what's the width of it?
Same as a TX4, isn't it?
Mirror to mirror, it's the same as a TX4. Yeah. I don't remember the exact measurements, but mirror to mirror, it's
feet,
the...
I think it was.
Yeah, because that's why the wing mirrors are a bit small, because they wanted to keep the same width.
6.6 is width gaps, isn't it? And I think we had about 3 inches either side.
Goes through Albert Bridge.
You guess?
Yeah, but if a traffic cop was to measure, he would measure the wing mirrors.
Yeah,
he wouldn't. Yeah, he wouldn't. Even though you said, "Oh, the bollards go under me mirrors." The vehicle is as wide as the mirrors,
and that would get you nicked.
That's why them ones are like snub nose mirrors, if you like, and that is to bring because get you nicked. If you went through 6'6" and your mirrors are overhanging in bollards, and a traffic cop was to see you, he could measure nick you for going through it.
I did not know that.
Have I not told you I used to be a truck driver?
You never said that before. I didn't know.
I've always said.
So, Dave, though, on that one, on a truck driver, you got electronic mirrors that I'm imagining you press a button and they both fold in.
No, they don't fold all the way in. No, they're moved. They'll be electronic. They're moved like you would.
Well, if you go back to my old dad driving his old Bedford, he'd lean over to one side and just rip it in like that, and then his side there. He's got a measure mirror.
Now you've got electric mirrors to put down. Years ago, you never had nothing to put down. No aircon, no nothing. It was horrendous in trucks. Mm. But,
did you drive trucks when there was no power steering?
How old do you think I am? No, I drove a Scammel. It was a 1973 Scammel, 3L Scammel. Tipper,
so
it was.
Didn't have power steering?
No, not power steering. But it was hard. But it weren't that bad. As long as you was moving.
Keep moving.
Turned. You try and turn it on standing still, you wouldn't do it. You'd have to be like Popeye.
This is how luxury things have gone very quickly.
Yeah, I'm kind of pre-power steering. Mm. I never had power steering on anything that I was driving when I was first driving.
The heaviest car I had for steering was an XR2. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that was so hard to park.
What was your first car, Dean?
I'm not going to know, because that is flash, first of all, right?
That's not your first car.
That was Rachel's, that's my wife's car. I had an XR3.
Yeah, an XR2. I had an XR3. In the 80s. I had an XR3. Yeah. I had not the I, had just the XR3.
Okay.
Twin cam. That wasn't my first car.
Convertible.
And the insurance was 4 times more than what I paid for the car.
Well,
they were the days.
So there we go. I had RS 2000.
What was your first car?
Yeah.
Serious?
No. Trumped us.
What was your first car?
I was going to say, Jesus.
What was your first car?
I had a Mark 1 Golf.
Lovely.
You better leave now.
Mark 1 Golf.
That's a lovely car.
In Burgundy.
My first car was a Capri, though, before that.
Okay.
How could you be? What are you talking about? Why was you 17 and you had a Capri?
I had a Capri, yeah. That's the only registration of any vehicle I can remember. YPE 68T.
Don't tell me it was a 3 litre Capri. What Capri was it?
1600. I tell you what, it was a classic. It was beige with a brown vinyl roof and brown check seats.
How much of the insurance for you on a 1600 even then, the Capri?
I don't remember then. This is not 1982, 83. I don't remember.
Mine was, I had a Terracotta Mark II Escort.
Yeah.
And that was a V-Reg. Yeah.
Well, I have to, mine was a Mark II Escort with the RS2000 badges.
Two.
Well, it was an RS2000 lookalike, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was all painted up to look like an RS2000. Yeah, I think it was probably even an 1100 if it was.
Did it have a fifth gear? I didn't have a fifth gear.
No fifth gear.
No fifth gear.
No.
Yeah. Four gears. Can you imagine some of the people watching this now thinking, four gears? Manual.
Well, most are putting no gears, aren't they now?
That's another thing with that, going back to the LEVC, the little dumpy stick.
You don't like it?
I like it. No, I like it. There's not a lot about it I don't like, to be honest, if I'm honest. There's not a lot. I wouldn't swap it.
When it goes, it's a beautiful cab. Yeah. And this is the thing. Like, a lot of people complain about it because it's problems, but when it's running, it's a lovely cab. It's by far. So many people have said it's the best cab I've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, that have been in the trade for many years. Mm. Like,
but there's a lot of people out there that haven't had any problems.
Oh, I know.
You know,
You hear all the...
How many are on the road then at the moment in London?
There's over 7,000.
7,000.
So we've overtaken the majority of the...
Yeah, you've got this major share of the market and you've still got you've got 50% to go, really. There's 14,000 cab drivers at the moment. Yeah. Possible.
Yeah.
So you also hope, like we do, to see the market grow a little bit, to get back up to old days of 20,000, 26,000
taxis. Yeah, absolutely. Again, the knowledge, you guys are doing a kind of great job, I feel. Yeah. There's not many of you guys around at the, at the moment, is there?
What this actually occurs to me now is because LEVC and all the garages, they have a very, very big vested interest, and people like to complain about people who've got vested interests, like I have. We all have a vested interest in this business. For you, it's absolutely crucial that there are new bodies coming through to go into new cabs, same for the rental market.
Mm. How many have you sold there in the UK?
UK, yeah, I think we're probably touching 8, maybe, roughly. 8,000, roughly.
Okay, so there's not a massive market outside of London?
No, it's growing outside of London. You know, it's just getting them out there. Obviously, it's completely different to London, isn't it? You know, I'd say Scotland is probably the closest to London in terms of, you know.
Manchester's cabs, I mean, I spoke about it on the other podcast.
Yeah.
They've got the oldest cabs kicking around. I saw one LEVC cab because they can keep them for as long as they want, can't they?
No, there is an age limit in Manchester as well, which I think is, again, it's 12 to 15 years. I can't remember. They kind of gave them a little bit extra time.
Did they?
To kind of change.
Didn't there used
over.
To be an LEVC in Manchester?
Yeah, there was, yeah.
I remember when I first got out, I was looking at cabs for sale. And there was cabs for sale in the regions that seemed to be loads cheaper than what they were in London. And I was like, oh, I'll go and look at that one. But no one told me that you couldn't buy one from the region and bring it into London. Well, you can with the LEVC. You can buy it from anywhere now, can't you? You can buy it from Scotland and bring it down to London or sell it to wherever. But you couldn't with the old TX4s and TX2s. You weren't allowed to move regions.
Why not?
I don't know.
So any vehicle that you bring into London that is current, has to be current in London.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you went and tried to buy a Euro 6 and bring it in, you can't because it's not current in London.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. And that's how it used to be.
Range. What's happening with the range?
So the range is better. It was a different supplier of battery, which just gave us extra miles, which again, people seem to be quite happy with and, you know, obviously saving a little bit more money.
Future range?
Future?
You don't know?
Not sure. No.
Or not selling?
No. I don't know.
I don't know. It wasn't me.
Yeah. So what's the current range? It was just around a 70, wasn't it now?
I would say in the good weather, you're just looking at 70. Some people talking about 80s.
Yeah. So what's this improvement? You're talking about, what was the early batteries doing?
50s.
And now we're doing 70s.
Mm. Originally, it was supposed to be 80, but then when it came to real life, it was nowhere near that. It was more like 50. Mm-hmm. And then they got this swap over in 2023.
What are you saying, Dave?
I'll say, if it's an icy night, you'll be struggling to even get 50. Like, you'll be 51 or something.
Icy night. I'm talking about good weather.
The cold is affecting the life of the battery.
To be honest with you, between 50 and 70 is not going to... If it went to 150 and a high, like the hybrid, the range extender, then that would be good because you'd, you know... Mm. That'd be good size.
Yeah.
I'd like to keep the engine, the range extender. I don't think I'd...
You get a nice sense of security from that.
Well, because you know, if you say you had, just imagine you had a 500 mile range, how long would that take to charge at home on a trickle charge?
Mm. 7 kilowatt battery.
It'd be 23 hours.
Seven kilowatts. Yeah. Whatever your battery charger is per hour. Yeah. 7 kilowatts is what you get.
I've
at home.
Got a friend who's got a car. He's doing 11 hours to charge. I think he's got 370 range on a car. And I went, 11 hours. Sometimes if he's going out early the next day, he has to stop off at a rapid charge, sit there for whatever time, and then go home and put it on the... And I went, I couldn't be messed with it. I know. So I just want to plug it in and go indoors,
and
this
isn't is why you? The BMW i3 drivers like the original i3, because the new i3 only does what you just said, 150. Mm. So it's not good enough.
Yeah, but see, 150 with an engine, like we've got.
No, they had, you've got, because you're carrying an engine and a battery. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you can only carry so much. You can't carry...
Three times what I've got now. That would give me, it takes battery. About 3 hours to charge of a night. So
yeah.
That would be 9 hours. I'd be in, so if you're 9 hours, get three, that would do me.
Yeah, but won't do everyone, will it?
Why not?
Because some people live 60 miles out of town.
Oh, you're accommodating how far we live. I'm talking about for a working day.
Someone
might live in Glasgow. I mean, you're getting travel to London. It's neither here nor there. You've got to put some petrol in and save the electric till he gets to London, isn't he?
Yeah, this is the thing about what you said about having a range extender is a belt and braces.
Yeah. I mean, I do like it.
That's what we've got now, and people seem happy with that setup. You ain't got to worry about anything. Range anxiety for yourselves, for the passengers. They all know where they are with it. They know that they can get in your cabin. They're going to get to where they need to get. to go to. So range has always been kind of, I've always kind of looked at it, how much are you saving a day, you know, compared to your diesel, your TX4? You're in the petrol station every day putting 30 quid in. Actually, this one's going to probably cost you 10, 12, 15 quid a day. So you're saving money every day on that. So it's trying not to get hung up on how many miles you can get, but it's how you drive it. How much can you get out of...
How much time you can spend in it.
You can get out of that vehicle as little as possible. And we've achieved that. I think we've done well with that, and it's working. And having a comfortable ride and a nice seat.
What's the maximum size charger? So you've got a 7 at home, haven't you? That's what you're charging at home. 50 on the streets, 150. What, say if they go to 300, would that battery be able to take 400?
No.
No? Is there a limit to what it can take?
You can plug into a 300, but it'll only take 32 kilowatts an hour max.
I'm not sure you can plug into them big old chargers.
Not the 30. I think you can plug into the 150s, but you can still only take a certain amount of power per hour, which is, the battery's 32 kilowatts now. It used to be 27, I think.
26. I'd have to
it's 32 kilowatts now, the battery.
On if you can plug into a 150 charger. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you can, because they plugged into them ones in under the Hammersmith flyover. There was a load down there and they were using them for free for a bit, and so they were all plugging in them, but they were only getting so much charge per hour, so they was only, you can only get the speed what they can do. They won't blow the cab up or anything like that.
But so you might as well stick with a 50 then, or whatever.
Yeah, same thing. Does the same job per hour. So
I see a video with two cabs, two LEVs for the Peninsula Hotel. Did you see the video? All done up.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Clive Sutton. Yeah. Clive Sutton.
Lovely. Yeah. So yeah,
tell us about them.
We sold the vehicles to the Peninsula. We put them in touch with Clive Sutton, and they kind of done their colours to match the rest of the fleet. Basically, and Clive Sutton do amazing job on
amazing
interiors. Incredible. And they really are.
How much did that cost, though, Lorenzo? That was beautiful.
No, that I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you.
Tens of thousands?
What extra?
I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly how much that is. I just put them direct in contact, and they deal with it. But they do, they just do an absolutely amazing job. They're very good at what they do.
What's the future? What's the future for LEVC? Where do we go from here? What's the next model? Any plans, anything?
Yeah, no. So at the moment, you know, I haven't got any information or anything that's coming anytime soon. You know, LEVC are obviously always looking, see what they can do. We need to make sure that obviously whatever comes in the future is right for you guys. You know, there are other things that they look at, you know, MPVs and things like that, you know, other models that they can bring into the range for LEVC, so that all of that sort of thing is kind of in the future. But Geely are our parent company, investing heavily in this vehicle and for the future. So
yeah. What's your background before this? Have you always been in this industry?
So I done my apprenticeship as a mechanic. So I came straight out of school into college, working at a place where we sold vehicles as well. So I was selling Rovers. So yeah, so I done my apprenticeship at a Rover dealership, and there was a salesman there that basically said, look, I'm leaving, but I'm going to put you up to be a salesman because I think you'll do all right with it. So they tried me out on a Saturday, and I just by fluke sold a car to somebody. It was pure fluke. But I sold a car, and they said, right, don't bother coming in your overalls on Monday, come back in your suit, that's it, you ain't going back in the workshop. So that's kind of where it all started.
Never sold a car since.
Yeah, that's right.
One and only.
Yeah. So did you finish your apprenticeship?
I finished it. I actually just finished it. Okay. And I was kind of excited about getting a pay rise for being a fully fledged mechanic. And I think it didn't quite happen because they kind of put me into the sales department. And and I loved it. A suit. I had a new car. The new car took a bit of time for them to give me a new car. But a company car, that is. That's kind of where it all started. So then I kind of thought, right, I'm going to get my experience. I'm going to learn from everyone, and be a good salesman, or try and be a good salesman. So, 5 years I stayed there, and then I kind of moved on from there. So, went to an agency, and they were kind of, You know, we've got Renault, we've got Ford, and literally I was just not just not interested, really. It was boring. Do I really want to go and sell Renaults? Mm. And no offence to anyone that does, it just weren't for me. While I was selling Rovers, by the way, we kind of changed franchise and we started selling Subarus and things like that. So again, another niche kind of product that no one really knew about. And there was only a, you know,
I love the Impreza.
Small audience. Great car. Yeah, they were brilliant. So I was selling Imprezas and Isuzu Troopers and things like that.
Lovely motor then. Yeah.
They were brilliant. They were brilliant. They really were good cars. So anyway, went to an agency. I need to kind of, you know, work somewhere, earn some money, this, that and the other, and they're kind of talking about all these different makes. And then someone said, actually, we've got a place, a taxi company. And I didn't understand what they were talking about. What do you mean? Taxi? I don't get what you mean. What, someone actually sells them? I've got pals where their dads are cab drivers. So I've always been around cab drivers and seen the cabs, but never actually thought where they came from. Mm. You know, I just didn't understand it. But anyway, that got me thinking and pricked my ears up, sort of thing. And I thought, yeah, actually, that sounds good. I'd like to go to the interview. Went to the interview. Different world. Took the job. This was at KPM UK Taxis. So this was '99, and I just loved it straight away. They gave me the job kind of there and then. I started on the 1st of March 1999,
yeah,
and never looked back. So yeah, for 25 years this year.
You sold fairways, even
sold secondhand fairways,
yeah.
So they were kind of phased out at that point. 98, I think, the TX, or 97, 98 crossover TX1 came along, and back then that was, wow. Like,
was it 97? You know, they still had fairways coming off the 97. Thingy, 96, 97, yeah.
Yeah, and I think 98 was a crossover, so you had some that were 98 R-Reg.
Yeah.
You remember the R-Reg,
yes,
fairways?
That's right. Yeah.
Then it was the TX1.
Yeah.
So I came in on the V-Reg, T-Reg, selling T-Regs. That was my first.
How much was a T-Reg? T-Reg,
yeah, they were about 28, 29, roughly. You had three models, bronze, silver, gold.
Yep.
To me, that sounds like a lot.
Right.
A lot of money in them days.
Fairways.
I didn't want it. It was too much for me.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. Because you could buy a second-hand fairway for 6, 7, 8, 9, and it would have a... There was no lifespan. You could have it for as long as you liked.
Right.
So there was no end of that.
There was no age limit, yeah.
So you just got it up, and everybody was looking after their cabs.
Yeah.
So you would buy that.
Because there was an inspector that used to go... Is this true?
These,
used to go out and check on cabs.
Yeah, they pretty much still do.
No, they used to go people in houses and all that. They do.
Yeah. They'd end up on your driveway.
That's right.
Under the cab.
Yeah.
And they'd put a little note through your door.
Yeah,
stop note.
Yeah.
And you can't use it until you go back and get it all fixed up and get it represented. So it was really strict. You know, they used to fail cap. Yeah, it was really strict.
Yeah.
So, you know, you couldn't have a rip in your seat, a little dent or a scratch. You couldn't have anything, you know. So it was kind of really strict. And the standard was lovely. And, you know, when I was taking in part exchanges, if someone said to me, no, it's just come out of overall, I'd be like, yeah, no problem.
It'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
I don't even need to look at it because I know it's absolutely bang on. And it was every time.
I heard of cabs getting stopped, failing their overall, because the rear brake light used to have the one that was against the rear windscreen. Mm. It's kind of flush against the windscreen, but inside there, it hadn't been cleaned. There's a layer of dust. It'd be like, you need to get that dust out of there, kind of thing. It was ridiculous, the standards that they took them to. And people, the cabs were great. Every year, there was all the whole kingpins and all sorts of things from underneath.
Everything
would have
was
to be done.
Yeah.
It drove like a dream every year. Yeah. The standard now, what are they doing?
I think they've raised it up again. They're kind of, obviously, because you've got your MOT twice a year.
Yeah.
And then your test once a year. So, and again, I think the cab doesn't need as much maintenance as it used to. So, you know, you were talking back then, Paul, and I'm not sure how long you've been driving a cab for or taking cabs up to Penton Street for testing and stuff, but you were looking at 2 grand.
I know, I heard.
Yeah.
three yeah. grand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you didn't look after your cab throughout the year, you was in for a big bill.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, it cost you more in the long run, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same with these new cab, to be honest, because the panels are expensive, right? And if the inspector sees scratches, a certain amount of scratches, it gets knocked back. So you have to have your body work in good condition. So what's the highest mileage cab you've took in part exchange or you've seen that...
Do you know what? We were getting cabs in with 500,000 miles because they had no age limit. So these things were going and going and going and going.
Yeah, you know?
So,
over half a mil.
Yeah, over half a mil.
You've seen anything with over 600?
Potentially. there was same cabs engine? Coming through. Not sure about the engine.
No.
But, you know, it was bulletproof. The engine was absolutely bulletproof.
What, the Nissan?
The Nissan was, everyone says the Nissan was a really good engine.
Was the best engine.
But the problem is, as soon as you hit a slight incline, you know, I used to take them on the motorways, going up to Heathrow to see all the drivers at Heathrow. I used to go there every couple of weeks. But, yeah, as soon as I hit a slight incline on the motorway, down to 30 miles an hour.
Mm. That was like that with the TX2. Because you know, I came in at TX2. Yeah. That had the transit engine, and that used to struggle up hills.
Well, the other problem you had with the fairway is if you went over 60 mile an hour, it was like the shuttle on re-entry from space. It was like space. All the front wings are going like this. The bonnet's going like this. It used to rattle. You think, oh, God, it's all going to go.
What was the cab that Patricia had? Could you remember?
She had a, I can't think what you called it, Asquith.
She had an Asquith.
Yeah. It weren't made by LTI.
They came and went by the time I started selling, but there was still a few out there.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like a kit car.
Was it?
Yeah. So it was made to look old. So the kit car was...
Oh, so it wasn't as old as it was made to look. Oh, I didn't know that.
No. Oh, you thought it was antique? No, it wasn't.
I thought that was the age of it.
What was shocking, though, is she said, I didn't know, because I did work with them. I did see people who had Asquiths when they were driving. There was only 25?
Right.
Yeah, there wasn't many. Yeah. There wasn't many. And I've never seen one again.
They're not now, are they?
Obviously, they're off the road now.
Yeah. But that's the thing of why they shouldn't be off the road now. You should be able to keep that. We're going on this idea of trying to be green, but the idea of making something disposable, it's kind of the opposite of that.
When you look at some of the cabs when they're at 15 years, and I'll get shot for saying this, but when you get to something like the Fairway or the TX 1s, 2s, and things, when they were 15 years old, they were ready to come off the road.
Yeah.
They were ready to come off the road. There's only so much body work you can do. There's so many gearboxes and engines. You know, these things work really hard, don't they? And like you say, they start to shake themselves loose.
I think there should be an extension for ones that have been really maintained well. They should be an extra test. Like, you've really looked after that. We'll give you another year.
Well, the test should be it's fouled or it hasn't fouled.
Yeah,
if it goes through and its bodywork is still maintained, because there were fairways that were kept mint.
But we've got a responsibility to look after the company that looks after us. That's the way I see it. I'm going to get shot for saying that. Oh, you know, you're promoting LVC. No, they've got to sell vehicles. Otherwise, they're not going to be here.
No,
if you keep extending, they're not going to sell vehicles, and we're not going to have a trade. As simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, also
you've got to be sensible about this stuff.
You've got to keep up with the emission, all the rules around all of that sort of thing. And obviously, you know, you want your passengers to jump in a nice
because they're up against exactly clean cars at the end of the day.
Clean, maintained vehicle.
True. So when do you think the last TXs are going to come off the road? What year is that?
Good question.
The last TX that we sold was a 67 plate 2017. I think it was December 2017. So 15.
That was a limited edition, wasn't it? So I had
limited edition. Limited edition, special colours, numbered, all that sort of thing.
Yeah. I had number 7.
Did you?
Yeah.
007.
007, yeah.
Okay.
I wish I kept it.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. It was a good cab. Blue. No, sorry, it was mid... What's the mid, black?
Yeah.
The special black.
Oh, Starlight Black.
Starlight Black. Lovely cab, that. Wish I'd have kept it.
So if that's 2017, that's...
Put 15 on that.
Is it 12 or 15?
15.
15.
So it's Euro 6.
Okay. 8 years
16, isn't it?
Say again?
It'd be 16 years because you get an extra year, don't you?
You don't get an extra year.
So they've got rid of that part. Where they used to be at
I think there was a bit of a loophole that
a month before you can relicense it for an extra year.
I don't think you can, but I could be wrong.
So the oldest TX you can buy is 2017.
Yeah,
the newest.
The newest. Yeah.
Yeah, and that would have an 8-year plate left on it.
today it would have another 8 years on it. Yeah.
And how much is the value of buying an 8-year-old TX?
So look, they're going for, you know,
25.
They're going for quite good money. Yeah, between 20 and 25 maybe.
Depending on the conditioning, depending on the condition and
everything else. Yeah. But again, look, that's 25 grand. Look, I'm not here to sell cabs, believe it or not. 25 grand on a TX4. I don't know. I would consider putting that down on a brand new vehicle that you're going to get 15 years on. So it depends on what you're doing. What's going on in your life?
Yeah.
You know, how long are you going to work for? You know, what's your kind of plan going forward? So that might make you think or decide, actually, I only want to work a few more years. I'll pay that money. I'll keep that and then I'll throw it away. But that's kind of what we do, is what we advise is, you know, how, you know, is it right for you? You know, do the payments work out for you? You know, what I always do is, however we buy this vehicle, we're looking at the next one at the same time. So whichever way you buy it, you know, today, how's that going to affect the next one that you buy? Because really what you want to do is retain your equity in that vehicle, keep turning your money over, rather than keep it 15 years and lose all your money on it. Unless you've been putting money aside, at the end of the 15 years, you're going to start again. So what can you do to kind of get a plan in place where you bring your payments down the next time? You're always in warranty. You've always got the latest vehicle, and you're not killing yourself to pay for a cab.
There's a tax benefit there as well, isn't there?
Yeah,
you know, you can write all that tax off in 3 years.
Yeah, but my plan would be I buy the cab over 5 years. I've then got 10 years of no paying for a cab. So,
but what are you going to do on year 15?
Yeah,
buy a new one,
and what start again?
Yeah.
So you might be at that age then where you think, do you know what, I'm going to slow down.
Oh, there is that question, but financially, surely I've had 10 years worth of free cab. That 10 years worth of free cab is a massive benefit.
But it's not been free, really, you know, because obviously you're going to pay out for things that go wrong. Things are going to go wrong no matter what you buy, that sort of age of vehicle. You know, I'm not a tax advisor or anything like that, so I can't advise on that, but... You know, the tax benefits you're not getting.
Nope.
Every overhaul is potentially going to cost you more and more every time. More and more things are going to go wrong.
You lose the value, it depreciates, right?
The value of the vehicle.
At the end of the 15 years, it's not going to be worth anything.
But that's fine.
No, you dispose it. But in the 10 years, you must be putting money away for your next cab. Or you start again on finance from zero deposit. If you're comfortable with that, that's fine. Or if you've got cash, or you inherit some cash, or you've something falls out of the sky, that's all right. But we're talking about everyone, not just us, are we, I suppose. Depends on what, Lorenzo says, it's your circumstances.
Yeah, everyone's got different situations, and we sit there, we'll go through it and kind of work it out between us, you know, to make sure that whatever you're doing today and the package that you're signing up for is right for you, and that you can get out of that vehicle in 3, 4, or 5 years, come out with some money to put down onto the next one to hopefully bring your payments down.
Okay, I completely, that makes sense, does it? Is that mathematically, you think that makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then
I've worked with guys, cab drivers, for a very long time, and, you know, it for me, it's kind of... how can I get your payments down? How can I keep you in a new cab all the time, or, you know, every 3, 4, or 5 years, and bring your payments down every time we do it? You know, and then the driver is kind of, you know, even if he is coming up to retirement, he's still got a fairly new vehicle. Do you know what? He's got some equity in that cab now that he can sell the cab, and then he's got some money in his pocket to retire, or towards his retirement.
He should have gone to work. He didn't have money in his pocket when he's going to work. Are you seeing this sums adding up to you, Dave?
It depends, I think, what age you are. That's the thing. You're getting it as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you get to, say, late 60s, 70s, wherever, you might be thinking...
Your last cab.
But you could buy a second-hand one with a few years on it, couldn't you? And if you wanted to carry on a little bit more.
I paid $5,000 for a cab, $7,000 for a cab, and $9,000 for a cab. And that's my whole spending on cabs in 30 years.
And then did you do a bit of renting as well?
I only rented the very, very first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then I always owned.
Yeah.
And then now I don't work particularly hard. So I haven't owned probably for 10 years.
Mm.
So for 20 years, I got away with that amount of money in my fairways.
But you say that. But then if you look at it and then top up what you spent on repairs and things like that, because at 5, 7 and what was it? 5, 7
and nine.
And nine, you was buying something fairly old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And only a few years left on it. So, you know, you're going
to risk. Spend,
you're going to spend money on maintenance.
They had no lifespan limit when
there
I
was no limits.
Yeah, yeah. That came in afterwards.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that wouldn't work now. Not. It would work. You could do it. You've got to find it. It's hard to find.
I'm still going to be of the mind. I want to pay for the cab. I want it to be owned. I don't want no money to be paid, and I will work the cab and get the money for it. The same as you would do a normal car, and let the car, if it ages to the price to the value of zero, fine, you buy a new one.
And that's absolutely fine to do that. No problem. Everyone's kind of got, you know, a different view on it. There's nothing wrong in that.
No,
but I'm also very open and like to understand the mathematics of it, because if you've worked out an optimum way, because that's kind of what you're saying, that the optimum way to get the most out of this longevity, to pay the least over the long range of time and have the best vehicle, you're saying keep chopping in and getting equity back in and paying less on the next one and so on.
Exactly, yeah. So you can keep... you're basically just rolling your equity over into the next cab, into the next one, into the next one. And every time that equity is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Do you know what? Mine's 2.5 years old, be 3 years old in June. So I was of a mind just to let it go. And that takes me to, like, them years, takes me to, like, 70 years of age.
Yeah. So
you've only got a year left. You've only got a year left.
A year till I'm 70. No, it will. I mean, another 12 years. I'm 58. I mean, how much more do I... Well, I might not even be alive in 12 years. You know what I mean?
So look, the way I see that is, again, is rolling your money over. Yeah, so you... Do you mind me saying how you paid?
I pay cash.
Right. So you've paid cash, right? You get to the end of that vehicle. That's it. That cash gone. Finished. No more. You've had your use out of it. You've earned your money. Working it and everything else. But if you look at it this way, and I'm not trying to sell you a cab, let's just say on year three you come to me and say I want to part exchange that vehicle. You've got 2 years left on your warranty. I can sell that vehicle as a second-hand vehicle with potentially another 3 years service, 3 years warranty on it. That takes that vehicle I can sell that for with 5 years warranty. So I'm going to give you good money for that vehicle, right? Because I know I can sell it with a 5-year warranty as well. Therefore, you use that money, you put it down on another one, and then you take your finance, or you might have cash again to clear it. You might only have to come up with 20, 50, and I say only, but 15, 20, 25, whatever it is. So then you're back into a new one.
How about if I bought two? Put that down as a deposit on two.
Hang on a second.
Yeah, let's confess for you. If I was to buy two new cabs.
Yeah. So then you split the money.
Yeah. Put that.
And you.
Just make it up. It's worth 40. Whatever. It's only talking like
let's say 40
anyway.
Grand,
don't need any more fleets, mate. We don't need any more fleets. Don't start
my
all that.
My son's doing a Norwich.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I thought. I thought, well, if I was going to do something, I'd do it for him, wouldn't I?
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
So you bought two. You split your deposit over the two of them. And then basically you do a HP over 5 years, maybe. You might want to do 4 years, 3 years. So this is the point. You keep that cab right till the end and you might think, do you know what? I have got one more cab before I retire. You got to start again.
You don't know how you're going to be, do you?
You don't know.
That's the thing. I don't know how I'm going to be. I might be fine. I might run around going, I want to carry on a little bit.
Yeah,
Let me say this here as well. I would be thinking at 3 years, if you've bought it in cash, you've done your tax, you've got your taxable out of the 3 years. They've done it over 3 years. They usually do it over 3 years. You get your tax benefit over 3 years. So if you go again, you get that again. See what I mean? You get the tax.
Don't worry, you get your write down again. I want it.
You get your write down again.
I ain't giving up anything. Yeah. No, but it just made me think. I hadn't thought before about getting two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until that. Yeah.
So there is that option. You could sell that, part exchange that cab, buy a new one. On 3 years, for example, and pull the money out completely.
I've never rented a cab on the podcast, but he's sold two to you.
I have toyed with the idea of how long will I carry on for? Will I still be alive when I'm 70? I don't know. Well, you know, but with James doing the knowledge,
yeah.
How far is he on it?
He's only on book three or blue.
He'll be out in a year and a half.
You know, He could be out in a month.
Yeah.
They say he was brilliant and got out in 18 months, 2 years' time or something like that. But then I could flop that in and say I'll have two.
Yeah.
4 years old or something like
so,
that.
So, and that's what I'm saying. Everyone is, everyone's got a different situation. What I try to do and advise is, like I said earlier, what we do today and how you buy your cab today, we need to be looking at how that affects the next one. And like I say, you've paid cash.
Mm.
3 years time, chop it in, go again, take the equity out, put it onto the new cab, split it, buy two, one for you and your son. You can either clear it, because at the moment you're not paying anything, yeah?
Nothing, no, not
so
penny.
Really?
I paid it up front, bang.
Yeah, put money away every week now, if you haven't already, but put the money away. So when you do come in 3 years time and say, right, I'm ready to go again, you can pay it off, done. Again, put the money aside. You're always going to be paying. So you put that money aside and you just keep that money rolling. If you ever did need to take the finance the next time round, to be honest, if let's just say you had 40 grand to put down, then I'd be saying to you, let's look at 2 years payments. Can you handle the 2 years at whatever it is? Okay, 2.5. Let's look at 3. You know, and then you're paid off again in 3 or 2.5 even. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're in a really good situation where you've been fortunate enough to pay cash.
Yeah, very fortunate.
Keep that money rolling over.
Yeah.
And that's not me trying to sell cabs. It is, but it makes sense, no?
Yeah, it does. To this is the thing. Like I, when I see people talking about this on social media saying like, you know, oh, I'm freehold, I want to stay freehold forever. There's no such thing. You have to always plan ahead. It's a business that you've got to plan ahead for.
It's a business.
You can't wait till the vehicle's got nothing left on it and then go, oh, I've got no deposit and it's going to cost me.
That's just bad planning.
That's just bad planning. You've got to think about what's going forward. Like, oh, the interest rate's 12%. Well, at the moment, yeah. You don't want to be borrowing money right now.
No, so, but in terms of tax, do you not get money back on the interest rate?
Yeah, it's all taxable, I suppose.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, it's all taxable. But, you don't. You know, it's cash flow as well. You've got to think of your cash flow. Mm. You know, you're a one-man band.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's difficult. Yeah, out there, mm-hmm. I understand. And, you know, so if you don't plan for the future and your cab's breaking down, it's out of warranty and you're chucking money at repairs and you haven't got any money for the deposit on the next one, you've got to start your business all over again. We're not all as fortunate as yourself, unfortunately. You know, so
yeah,
we've
but
got
I'm
to
old.
Start. You're old.
Yeah. I'm unfortunate.
But there's a lot of yeah. older cab drivers out there that have had to start again.
There is. I've done it for so many years where I'm sitting in front of someone. It doesn't matter whether you've got the cash or not, to be honest. Don't lose that money is what I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
You know, but there are people there that they start from scratch. So then we look at how they're paying for it and it's all about timing. Mm. When to change, when to chop it in and go again.
Mm.
So it may take someone 3 cabs to get to the position that you're in now, for example, or 4 cabs. But it's doable. Time flies. You've had just 2.5 years already.
Mm. 3 years in June, yeah.
That's flown by, probably, for you. Mm. It flies by for me. And before you know it, it's done and you're on to the next one.
I'm on a WhatsApp group with a load of TXE owners. We sort of split away from another group when we first got the cabs. And a lot of them now are on their 3rd TXE and they're near enough freehold from starting from low deposit, like 5 grand.
Yeah,
they're near enough. You know, you'll know some of them. They've changing it their 3rd one now, so they've gone 6 years. So they're on their 3rd. They've done, yeah, they're on their 3rd one. And like I said, they're not cash like completely, but
so
low.
I'm sorry, but something's confusing me. So you're saying they're near enough freehold?
Yeah.
I buy a cab and I pay it off in 5 years. I am freehold. So why would I be near
on
enough?
On the 3rd.
I'd be on the 1st. I paid the 5 years.
Because they've chopped in at 3 rather than 5.
They just keep chopping in to get this new cab, right? But
yeah,
again, it's a work vehicle. I'm going to work it. I do think maybe there are different characters. Mm. I don't think it's too different, Paul, but there's different characters of people that are financially completely and utterly useless. I did have a friend who was a cab driver. When we first passed out, he did go and get the brand new cab, whereas I went and bought a 5 grand Metro secondhand. Mm. He went and bought a financed brand new Fairway. I think they were about 23 or 24.
Mm-hmm.
And he got his wife a RAV4, I think it was at the time, on HP, because he had got a job all of a sudden that he could afford. He ended up needing to earn £2,000 a week, I think it was, to cover the outgoings of the things that he purchased.
It's just irresponsible, though.
It is, but see, I'm not that kind of person, and I'd pay my cab off, and then the money that I'm getting in, I never spend money I haven't got. And I also like to have money put away. So I probably would have, I'd expect to have about 50 grand saved up by the end of the 10 years.
Everyone was paying for things in a different way. There was a different way of your customers paying you. So now you're running everything in a different way. And it's buying cabs, PCP, yeah. HP. You know, you've got this balloon payment at the end now so that you can afford the payments to be a bit lower during the time so that it stretches it out. So you've got to do more than one cab to be freehold now. And that's the guys that are doing it from day one, from the 67 plate, they've been sharp. They've been clever. I don't think so. Early.
They've been sold. Lorenzo sold it. because I tell you why. Yeah. I don't completely understand the plan, and I consider myself to have a little bit of a mathematical brain, so yeah. I don't completely, but I understand that you've probably it's thought complex. About it and laid down much more than I have, but the people you're selling it to, they've got no clue, they've just took your word for it and thought, yeah, that makes sense.
No, because it's actually, the proof is in the pudding,
yeah, I just
and
told
these guys are coming back three, now. Four, five cabs, yeah. and they've taken the advice and they see the benefit of having a new cab all the time.
Okay, give me
so
the
what you're doing, what you've done in the past, ain't wrong, don't get me
ain't
wrong.
Wrong.
It ain't wrong. That suited you and you're happy with that. So that's the main thing, is that you're happy with it. There isn't probably a moment where you think, I wish I'd bought new cabs. You're not. You're absolutely, I can tell, happy that you've bought older cabs.
You say old bangers, aren't you? You're going to say old bangers.
Yeah, but the beautiful thing about the way you've done it is you're getting the same fare as Dave.
Well, this
even
is
even though Dave's got a new cab,
you've that's
got
the point.
Same money, and I'm chugging along.
The point is how much how can you pay the least over the amount of time? Who's paying? Whose income is the greatest? Is the whole issue? Who's got the least outgoings and the most incomings? So is it the guy who's doing your method or is it the guy that was doing my method?
I think there ain't much in it, if I'm honest. No. I don't think there's much in it because you've bought... All right, you're...
An exception?
You are a little bit. Three cabs in 30 years.
Yeah.
You don't go to work, does it?
I don't go to work now, but I was a real, real hard worker. I would do 16-hour shifts easily. The guy I bought my cab off was Peter... Was here, Peter Maynard. I gave him for that particular cab. You have to ask him. I think that was the £7,000 cab. That was H160YUL fairway. So he took the cash from that and he went straight and he bought his first TX1 with that cash. And for some reason, he thought £7,000 was a lot of cash. I don't know if it was that much cash, but he went into, did he go into KPMs and buy it? I think it's in the podcast. I have to see.
Peter Maynard rings a bell to me. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Rings a bell. I don't understand why you've not sold more Vistas, the normal without the sunroof, without the electric seat, because before we had the TX4 and now everyone like was renting these nicer cabs with the sunroof and everything else, like it's an extra £5,000 or £6,000 you could save off the price of the cab.
What, with that sunroof?
No, it's not as much as that.
Is it not as much
not
as that?
Not as much as that, no. So when you're looking at it and you break it down weekly, you could be looking £7,000-£8,000-£10 extra per week
for everything.
And then that vehicle is worth more at the other more end as well. End. You're paying more for it.
But you know what?
You're going to get more for it.
No,
the
I get
end.
That. I get that.
And then when someone comes in and buys a second-hand cab, the first thing they want is top of the range. Yeah. They're not interested in the bottom of the range.
I know. Yeah.
If I'm going to sit in something, like this chair, for instance, I want a comfortable. I want that. If you're going out for 10 hours or 12, whatever it is, you want to sit in something comfortable.
Yeah, why not?
You wouldn't. You'd sit on a crate.
No, I wouldn't. No. There's a few things that I'm thinking, Dave. I have my bed at home is super expensive. There's two things that have to be. Chairs that you sit in a car. I even in my old thingy, I bought the chair from Buckingham's. It would have been about £400 quid. So I would have bought the bits for you that are part of that, Dave, I'm in for. Like the cab itself.
I like a nice seat in the cab, and I like to rent my cabs with nice leather in them.
Well, I'm shocked. They I don't know. Good. Nowadays, smell maybe good. We don't need them, but I was shocked that in the olden days on the fairway that we didn't have the suspension chair with the air suspension on it because we were sitting in it so long that you wanted to be as comfortable as possible, but no one had it.
You could buy them, couldn't you?
I think
you could buy the suspension bases.
Yeah, and put it in.
And
then the overall would say take it out.
No, I think it was all passed. I'm just trying to think if I ever saw them in fairways, but they were definitely in TX1s, the suspension bases that came.
Yeah, it might not have been made it in the fairway, might not have fitted
on.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Can't really, because it was a different seat, wasn't it, as well, actually.
The chair I had that was the best one was nothing like a modern chair. It was I think it was called the Putnam.
Putnam seat, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like a
Recaro.
Bench.
No, the Recaro.
No.
Putnam is different.
Okay, Recaro was the one that would fit you like a racing car.
Yeah, it was.
The Putnam was a flat bench and a flat back, but there was about this much springs, like a bed springs. So you were sitting on a very spongy, springy seat. And then when you got the new TXs, the seat in that was like a wafer thin piece of wood.
TX was, it was literally a piece of metal with foam around it and then the cloth. But again, that was trying to give you more space in the cabin.
Because guys were big.
Yeah, that was probably more the kind of reasoning behind it, was trying to maximise.
The jump to, you know, from TX4 to this cab is mental, like the difference. I feel like we've gone from 1999 to 2023.
Oh, well, the fairway was dated back into the 60s. I mean,
Miles behind with it, miles behind, and we've come into it being like a car now.
You used to burn your leg. Your leg here would be against the gearbox.
I'm short, as everyone knows, and as everyone points out that I'm short, and I would struggle to get in the TX4 without my left leg bent.
Yeah, well, me and you, I mean, I'm
4 foot three.
I'm about five inches taller than you.
Yeah.
But when I used to get in the fairway, the roof, I was higher, my forehead was higher than the screen, top of the screen.
But yeah, you would always see people in fairways, kind of at the
lights, big guys.
Looking at the,
you'd be through the sunroof, Dave, you'd be like that.
Yeah, that's all you,
Circus Bear, 6'2".
Circus Bear.
I just ripped the seat out. What was his name?
Liked it.
In Police Academy? What was
Hightower.
I ripped the seat out.
But yeah, this was it in the fairways. I mean, look, I was selling Rovers and working on Rovers and things like that. And when I joined KPM and jumped in the fairway, I couldn't believe the switches were all from the Maestro and Allegro, and I couldn't get my head around, you know, all of them sort of quirky things in the trade.
Yeah,
you know, which is,
it was not a technological advancement, was it? It was really pieces of Lego stuck together. But I liked it. It drove like a go-kart.
They were still good.
Well, we didn't manage to get to the complete bottom of the finances. I mean, I'm my head's spinning on the numbers.
I don't think you're meant to.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
That's gonna be the thumbnail, I'm afraid, Lorenzo. Yeah. the cups.
I think that's why people keep going back. They go back to look at something else. They might go back for a service and they walk back out and have a new cab.
I took it in for some air in the tyres.
All I can say is that, you know, we'll always take the time to go through stuff. We're not trying to, you know, force people into cabs or anything like that. You know, I've always been a strong believer of sitting with people, going through, you know, what's good for you? Is it right for you? Does it work for you? If it doesn't, you know, there's been times where we do say to people, you know, it ain't right. The figures are not working out. Come back.
Okay. So put your cards on the table, right? We had to do the podcast, didn't we? Buy or sell, buy or rent. So buy or rent then? Financially, what did you think is the one that's going to give you the most income? That's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to answer it. Because
there comes the cups again.
I've never minded this question.
Do you know what? And kind of, look, for me, is everyone is different, and I can't say that buying is best for you or renting is best for you. It really is down to the individual, and I couldn't say either way. You know, you might come in and you end up saying, listen, oh, I feel happy renting. Do you know what? Rent.
You're talking about happiness, but we're talking about simple, basic mathematics. Which one brings you out with the most income? Is it buying or renting?
I'm not going to answer it.
I think it suits different people.
When you first get your badge, I believe you should rent to start with, because you don't know how you're going to be in the job. You don't know how.
It's
how
always better to smash up your cab than smash up my own cab.
But you might not even like it. You may not like the job.
This is what I'm saying, Dave.
You might just signed up below the finance and go, I can't stand this.
Yeah, I think I've only ever come across one guy a couple that have said, I can't stand the job, can't bear it.
It's not that
after
so
spending
much.
All that time.
It's not, I wasn't really alluding to that. What I was alluding to is you're going into finance early, like, because a lot of people haven't got the cash, Dave, you know, going into finance early, then you think, do you know what, I want to have a break, 3 months, because it's a flexible job. You can't be flexible if you've got finance. You can't just give it back, you know, in the first year. After that, when you've got your feet under the table, you know, you might have had your first little accident, you know, setting someone down, or someone might have swung the door, all that kind of stuff you can get used to. I had a driver that went to look at finance from early finance, £1,400 a month for finance because he had no deposit. So that's more than renting. Because once you're adding the insurance, all your other associated costs, mm-hmm. it's more expensive than renting. Had he had a deposit, put 20 grand
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I can see that. He can work week to week.
But better. You know.
I've got a question for you. Your insurance, now you're a fleet owner.
Mm.
If someone's 70, is it dear? Is it harder to get them insured? Or 80? Or
Over 75, yes.
Over 75?
Yes, we got trouble there. Because it's a similar thing to a young driver. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more risk.
Rental companies don't rent private, like a Hertz and Avis. They won't rent to you over 75.
No, and same with us. We can. I had a guy who was 81 who drove a TXE.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not always been the case, is it?
We had to retire him, sadly. Mm. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You had him put down?
No. Such a lovely fella. But he had a couple of accidents.
We miss him. Yeah, we miss him.
No, he had a couple of accidents and he couldn't go on, unfortunately.
I do think that does happen with some old people, don't you? You often see in the car parks where they shoot across the car park because they mix up. They just must mix up the accelerator and the brake.
It's coming, Dave.
Yeah, but no, we knew there was an age when we spoke before about insurance. Yeah. We knew there was an age thing.
Yeah, it becomes the same risk as a 17-year-old.
So at 74, you're fine.
You know what I mean? It's a similar kind of risk. That's how they assess it.
74, you're fine.
74, you're
right. There's another reason I'm saying that now. Being a pretty selfish thing and not my boy. If Mark goes to I'm 70, I might as well rent for a few years. What am I financing up for? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You
can rent. Hang on, we've talked you in and out.
Yeah. I bought two cabs.
I rented one to rent.
I bought two and rented one.
But you can
how
see
about
though.
I buy your cabs and you rent them back off me.
But you can drive yourself mad trying to decide which is the best way. You got to just do it at the time.
You got
what's right for you at that time.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, but are you going to rent me a cab at 81?
No.
So you won't rent to someone over 75.
I will. Yeah.
No,
I can do it.
Would it cost more?
Not necessarily. No, it just depends. Everyone's different.
Declare the age to...
Yeah, we have to make a commercial decision. Yeah, to see if we feel like we're comfortable with it. And
so it's your decision, it's not really the insurance. So you're just being, whether you want to be nasty
insurance
or
will, no. The insurance will put an extra excess on to that driver as risk.
How much?
This guy that we had, his excess was £1,500, which was the same as a driver under 25. It's the same risk. They look at it as the same risk.
And was someone 40 years old?
What's normal excess?
What's normal?
1,000. Well, excess is higher now because the vehicle and the risks are higher.
No, I just don't think it's as bad as I was led to believe. I thought it was really difficult to get there, or virtually impossible.
Mm. I think they're out there. You know, we've just sold a cab to an older guy, and no problem. He had to move from one insurance company to another.
God, I bet he wasn't even a cab driver; just someone walking past.
Yeah.
He got a cab.
He saw you in the cups.
Next thing,
everyone's got their experience of Brewery Road, haven't they? Positive, negative. Mm. How has it changed over the years? Because you've been there 25 years. How is it now? Because when I first started...
Hold on, that's a bit confusing. But you was KPMs, which is basically the competition.
Yeah, I was KPM.
Yeah.
I was KPM for 8 years or so. I started at Brewery Road when they first moved in. So they moved in Brewery Road from Holloway Road, October 2006. I joined January 2006. So I left KPM... and kind of went to M&O's is what it was known for back then.
People still call it that.
Yes, people M&O. Still call it that now, yeah.
So funny.
So, but less and less over the years, less and less. More. So,
yeah, so no, I haven't heard it for a while.
Yeah.
Man, no, Vince ain't heard it.
So I was in the, I was a salesman, basically. I had a lot of kind of customers that I dealt with from KPM. So I'd built up a very good kind of customer base. And thankfully and luckily for me, you know, guys followed me from there to here, from there to Brewery Road. So, you know, obviously I started dealing with fleets. I've been dealing with fleets from KPM, but I stopped selling retail vehicles in 2011 or 12. And then I became sales manager. Last year, November, I took over the whole building. So basically now I look after all of Brewery Road and look after, the sales, service and parts. So my biggest thing has always been is obviously customer service. And I know that we've had issues over the years and a bad reputation over the years. But it's always been my number one to try and kind of make sure that people are being dealt with properly, you know, and looked after. And we make mistakes. We're only human. We are going to make mistakes. But my biggest focus is kind of stripping back the service, which, you know, we have done. We've got a great service manager there now, Shane, who's kind of, you know, we've stripped it back down. He's kind of worked really hard to kind of change the way we do things, make it better for after sales side of it to, you know, and get people in and out as quickly as possible. So, you know, there's a lot of work that's gone on in the background to kind of make things better, to try and, you know, we have had a poor reputation in the past for after sales.
Yeah.
And I've just got to say, you know, that it's, you know, it's a lot better than what it was. We're not 100% there yet, but that's my biggest focus, is just trying and making sure that we're looking after customers. So, you look, we've come a long way. I know, Paul, you use us quite a bit, and, you know, I like to think that we, you know, we try and do our best for people. We're not going to get it right every time. We're still working hard to make it better, you know, but that's my number one. I just want people to know that that's my number one, is to make these changes for the better for everyone. And
my thing about Brewery Road and any service centre that you go to with a taxi is waiting time. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the most important thing that you need to treat with a cab driver. Cab driver sitting in your waiting room is a cab driver losing money. That's how they see it.
But I don't mind if they tell me. If they say to me, this is going to be a while, go home or whatever. Yeah. They ain't got to give me a cab. I'll get home. I'll get, you know,
I think
don't leave me sitting here.
I think that's the most
5 hours
thing.
Later, I could have gone off anywhere. Could I have done anything? Yeah. I'll come back in the morning.
Exactly.
It's a commercial vehicle. It's not a car. It's a commercial vehicle. And that means that if I'm running a service centre, I'm going to either give you a loan cab if I can, or I'm going to say to you, right, this is going to be 4 hours. There's no point you sitting here unless you want to sit here, or your fleet or whatever. So you need to know, and that is what their focus is more of now. I feel like that. The communication has improved.
Yeah,
it's not perfect. I'm not sitting here promoting LEVC.
No,
it's not perfect. I've had murders about it over the years, but it has got better.
Look, you know, we want to get you back on the road. We don't want you sitting there. No. You know, the guys at the service end, I've got to say, you know, they're going to get the rough end of the stick, because, you know, people are breaking down or there's a problem with a vehicle and, you know, they want to get back on the road and earn money and everything else. And I understand all that. And the guys, they get a battering. They do. Genuinely, they get, they get the raw end.
Yeah, rightly so.
But, you know, they're human.
Yeah.
They will try and do their best for you, but I get it. You know, look, sometimes you might be the fifth person that'll ever go at them.
Lorenzo, it's not a very good business strategy for anybody to not be wanting to be the best at who they are.
Yeah.
So you want to be the best in the business. You obviously, I can tell from your character, if you're doing this, you're not doing it to rip people off. If you can give away cabs for free and it would make the company look great, you'd do that. It's just basically you've got to do and want to do whatever it is to make you the best at your business, the best in your industry, correct, and to aspire to that. And it's obvious that you do that. It's not an easy task. And we're all very, very quickly, we can really condemn people quite quickly for ulterior motives and whatever it is. But your job is to sell cabs. We concluded yesterday that it really should be a singular market. I mean, whether we like it or not, it's a monopolied market. And we should just accept that rather than trying to have competition, because it seems that there's very difficult to have competition in a very small niche market, that you dilute it. And every piece of competition that's come along since you've been here has basically been the people like, oh yeah, it's going to bring the price down, but no one wants to buy the competition. So the competition doesn't survive very long, and then it's back to you again, and you can't compete.
And that's the thing, is that it is a really small market. And for anyone to invest, we've invested, or LEVC, or Geely have invested millions, absolute millions, to bring a vehicle to market that complies with TfL. We've spent millions. You can't just turn up with a van, convert it, and make it work, you know, because it's a small market, you know. Really small markets.
Listen, I think that might be it, because there's a lot of hard work going on. Thank you, Lorenzo.
No, no problem. You've
basically spilt the beans on about nothing. And we now fully understand nothing.
Yeah.